A new theory about the Wall Street flash crash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Federal regulators are looking into the causes of the so-called flash crash from back in May. Remember that when the stock market plunged momentarily? The Dow was down around 1,000 points and it was right back up? Well, today we've learned the Securities and Exchange Commission has some possible new leads in the case. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now live from our New York Bureau with more. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
What is the SEC's latest suspect?
Well, according to a story in this morning's Wall Street Journal, regulators are looking into a practice called, get ready for this, quote stuffing, which is basically when high-speed traders place a whole bunch of orders one second and then cancel all of them the next. They may be trying to psych out their competitors, or they may simply be testing the market price of certain stocks. The other practice the SEC is reportedly looking into is called sub-penny pricing. And with that, traders are placing big orders for stocks at a price that's just a fraction of a cent from the price at which the stock is actually trading, just to get a tiny discount, which, of course, matters when you're buying in bulk.
Well, Jeremy, I'm enjoying the names quote stuffing and sub-penny pricing, but why might these practices have caused the flash crash?
Well, a company called Nanex recently came to regulators with some data comparing the flash crash to other mini flash crashes within particular stocks. And the head of Nanex says in both cases, the same thing happened. High-frequency traders clogged up the system with a ton of orders, which slows down the information that the public is getting on stock trading action just by a matter of milliseconds, which is just enough time, he says, for traders to get a competitive advantage, buy in low and sell high. Now, Bill, of course, when it comes to the SEC's inquiry into all of this, it's not going to be a matter of milliseconds, but rather a matter of months.
Amazing stuff. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
A new report out today takes a look at how small businesses are affected by the new health care reform law. The law includes a tax credit to help small businesses afford health insurance. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
The tax credit applies to businesses with 25 or fewer workers and an average wage below $50,000. The report was released by the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation that researches healthcare policy. The fund's vice president, Sarah Collins, says the credit will be worth a lot.
This will save small businesses about $40 billion over the next 10 years. So this is a significant economic stimulus.
Still, some small business groups have been less than enthusiastic. They point out that the tax credit is temporary, and they say the new health care law doesn't do enough to bring down the cost of premiums. Molly Brogan is a spokeswoman for the National Small Business Association.
A tax credit on a health insurance plan that's extremely expensive isn't going to do a whole lot of good.
But some research points to lower costs. The Congressional Budget Office says premiums for small businesses could fall as much as 4%. The CBO says the health care reform law simplifies the process of buying insurance, so administrative costs could go down. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
What's not going down are stock prices. Asian investors followed up on yesterday's Wall Street party. Major markets in Asia rose about 1% today. Europe is less impressed. Stocks there are up just a tiny fraction. As I said, Wall Street kicked up its heels yesterday at some good news on U.S. manufacturing. The Dow rocketed up 254 points. That's 2.5%. The close was 10,269.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Have you found yourself cutting back on your grocery purchases, buying off-brands or less organic produce, yet you're still splurging on your pet's food? It's a common practice and an understandable one. Marketplace's Adrian Hill joins us now to consider the financial and environmental costs of your beloved animal. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
So let's start with what it costs to keep a dog.
It's not cheap to keep a dog, as dog owners out there probably already know. But let's assume that public radio listeners are into rescue dogs. According to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, depending on the size of your dog, you might spend about $1,300 in that first year for the dog. Food, grooming, all those things, vet costs. And again, that's if you're planning to adopt a dog. If you buy new, you're going to pay more.
Wow. Now, let's continue the never-ending argument over cats versus dogs. I'm going to guess a cat. I'm going to guess a cat would be cheaper. Yes?
Cats are cheaper. Cats run about $1,000 the first year you have it. But again, not cheap overall.
Okay. Now, what about your pet's environmental footprint or paw print?
I was in touch with a woman named Brenda Vale who wrote a book called Time to Eat the Dog, The Real Guide to Sustainable Living, to find out what the least environmentally and most environmentally friendly pets are. It turns out at the top of the bad for the environment list is also the most expensive pet, and that's the big dog. My sister has a mastiff mix. She's fostering right now, so she probably doesn't want to hear this.
No, she's on the list, huh? So what is the best pet for the environment?
Any guesses?
I'm thinking something ceramic that eats very little.
Eats nothing
at
all.
I don't know, a little gerbil?
It's actually a goldfish.
Goldfish. Okay.
The little humble goldfish. As Brenda Vale put it, it's vegetarian, it is cold-blooded, and it's small.
So maybe your sister maybe consider a fish?
She's probably not going to give up her dogs. My sister loves the cuddliness and playfulness of the dogs. But if you're out there thinking about a pet, a goldfish is good for the environment and cheaper. A fish is only about $200 a year.
Good to know. Marketplace's Adrienne Hill. Thank you.
Thanks.
And finally, one of the biggest YouTube videos of all time is now a commercial. 13 million people have watched a Yosemite hiker discover a
double rainbow all the way across the sky.
The hiker, Paul Vasquez, has trouble fitting the entire double rainbow onto the video screen, which leads us to his new ad for Microsoft's video editing software.
With Windows Live Photo Gallery, you can use Photo Stitch to combine adjacent photos and capture that double rainbow the way it should be captured, full on, all the way across the sky.
What does it mean?
A sad commercialization of his innocent joy, or a brilliant marketing move, or both? This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.